For our scripture reading this morning, I would invite you to turn with me to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 2. And I'm going to read the first 15 verses, about half the chapter there, Colossians 2, starting at the first verse. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." So far, our scripture reading this morning. And for our text, verse 12, "Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God." Congregation of our beloved Savior Jesus Christ, a Sunday on which the holy sacrament of baptism is administered is a very special Sunday indeed. We are reminded of life, God's wonderful gift, a precious new life given to the family Lee, given to this church family. Because we recognize that our children are a gift from the Lord, and God loves them, and we love them. And we are so clearly reminded of the precious benefit of life in Christ, that full and free salvation that we receive from our beloved Savior. Baptism is God's work. It is by God's authority given to the church that the sacrament is administered. And first and foremost, as those who remember their catechism will agree with me, I'm sure, first and foremost, baptism is a sign and seal of what God has done for us, not what we are trying to do for God. It is a sign and seal that before the foundation of the world, God chose us to eternal life. And that while we were yet sinners, helpless sinners, Christ died for us. It is God who has reached down to rescue us, to pull us up out of that miry clay. And we have not deserved God's grace. We have not earned his favor. We have not manufactured our own faith. All is a wondrous gift of God. And the sign and seal of God's work, the mark of his covenant of grace, is baptism, which we were privileged to witness this morning. And our children rightly share in baptism, since they are God's gift to Christian parents and share in God's covenant blessings. And the Lord willing, we look forward to that day when little Enoch Peter and all the other children who have been baptized here in this sanctuary will stand before the Lord and this congregation and make a public profession of their faith, when they will respond to God's wonderful promises with their vows of faith and obedience. For as the form reminded us, and as Scripture clearly teaches, a covenant has two parts. The first part is God's promises to us. The second part is our response to God. By our words and by our actions, we are responding each and every day in the sight of God. And we are showing him whether or not we are covenant keepers. And at this service of baptism, which is also a service to prepare our hearts for Holy Communion, which will be administered next Sunday, I want to reflect on this very point. Are we covenant keepers or covenant breakers? The fact is, baptism has placed before us responsibilities. It has placed upon us responsibilities. Responsibilities for parents who have made the vows, the promises of baptism. A responsibility to remember those promises and to keep them. The fact of baptism has placed responsibility on all of us gathered here who at one time or another have been baptized and have now come to years of understanding. Are we covenant keepers or not? And it places a responsibility upon all of those who are full members of this church. Because next Sunday there will be an opportunity to come to Holy Communion. Are you a worthy partaker or not? Covenant breakers are not worthy to come to the Lord's table. Covenant keepers are worthy in Christ to share the wonderful fellowship of the supper of our Lord. Our baptisms have given to us and to our children a certain standing before the Lord. We are included in the grace of God, in that we find ourselves here in the communion of the saints. We are part of a true church of Jesus Christ, where by the grace of God, a knowledge of salvation is proclaimed Sunday by Sunday from this pulpit. And we have an opportunity to respond to that. And the question is, how will we respond? How do you respond? How have you responded to your baptism promises? The apostle says that those who are baptized have been buried with Christ. In a very special way, baptism reminds us of the death of Christ. That's what the apostle says in our text. You were buried with Christ in baptism. The water there in the baptismal font is a gracious symbol of the power of Christ's blood shed at Calvary's cross to pay the penalty, to forgive our sins. The promise of the covenant is there that those who belong to Jesus Christ have their sins forgiven because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for us. Christ died, the scripture tells us, and he was buried. Well, how do we share then, not just in one of the great results, salvation, but how do we share in that death and burial itself? We are buried with Christ when, by the work of the Holy Spirit within us, we put to death that old self, that old nature with all its love for sin, with its delight in selfishness, with all its pride and rebellion against God and his kingdom. And our baptismal promise is that we are buried with Christ. As a parent, you have promised to raise your child in a Christian way. And that is true for all parents who have presented their children at the baptismal font. And this means many things, of course, instructing our children. Our children have to learn the basics of the gospel. They have to go to, they have to come to church. They have to go to Sunday school and catechism. They must learn these things. But it also means, parents, it also means that you must show your children what it means to be buried with Christ by your living example. They must see that you personally hate sin, that you count this present evil world as nothing. Parents, your children must see that your old nature is crucified with Christ and no longer in control. And that you have promised at the sacrament of baptism. Young people and older members of the congregation, you have come to years of understanding. You have enjoyed many covenant blessings. You have been presented time and time again with the gospel of Jesus Christ here in this church sanctuary. Now, what about your covenant responsibilities? Are you a covenant breaker or a covenant keeper? If you love this world with its immorality, its drunkenness, its lawlessness, its lack of faith in God, its disrespect for God and his church, if that is your way of life, openly or secretly in your heart, then you are a covenant breaker. But our prayer, the prayer of your parents, the prayer of the congregation is that you will respond to the promises made for you at baptism, that you will turn in faith to Jesus Christ, that you will respond and live only always for the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior and your King. And for those of you who have professed your faith, You look forward to next Sunday when, God willing, the communion table will be prepared here in the sanctuary. Remember your baptismal promises. Only those who are buried with Christ are worthy to come to the Lord's table. Have you, by the grace of God, put to death your old nature? Buried that sin with Christ? Are you daily killing off all the lusts of the flesh, or all that we see in the world around us today, the greed, the gambling, the filthy talking, the careless living, the sins that are so hateful in God's sight? If not, then it is my duty this morning to call you to repent. Now, none of us has killed off the old self of sin completely yet. But let us be reminded in this preparatory week that we all need spiritual renewal. May this preparatory week be a time of rededication to God and His covenant. Be buried with Christ. And secondly, says our text, be raised with Christ. Baptism also reminds us so wonderfully of that new life we have in Christ's resurrection. In our text, the apostle says, in baptism, you were also raised with Christ. It is by the power of His new life that Jesus completed His work of redemption and won for us the new life that baptism signifies and seals. Christ Jesus rose from the dead in power and victory. He arose victoriously with a glorified body, no longer subject to earthly limitations. He was restored completely. And He was changed into that body which God will give at the last day to all His children. At the resurrection, we who love the Lord will receive glorified bodies. But we don't have to wait till judgment day. We are to share new life in Christ now. Oh, to be sure, our bodies are not perfect. You need just look at me and you know that is true. No one is. No one here below is perfect. We have our faults and failures, our weaknesses, and spiritual perfection. That awaits us in the world to come. But as Christians, we do begin to live the new life now. We're at the start, yes, but we are on the way. Our baptismal promise is that we are raised with Christ. Parents, show that joy that you have in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Show your love for the Lord. Exercise your spiritual life. Be faithful, an upbuilding member of the church. You have promised to be that example for your children, all of you, who at one time or another stood by the baptismal font. You have made that promise. Fulfill it. Display that new life that you have in Christ Jesus. Young people, the covenant of grace has many benefits. And one of the greatest benefits is that by the work of God within you, you can have new life in Jesus Christ. When all around you, you see what goes on in the world, your eyes are open to it. You see how people live, worldly people, lost in sin, cracking under the strain, worried, sick, their soul in eternal peril, trying to dull their aches with drugs and alcohol. We would have to be stone blind if we would not see the agony of life lived without Jesus Christ. We would have to be stone blind if we could not see the benefits that life in Christ brings. Do not hesitate. Do not delay. Profess your faith. Live out your faith. Lay hold upon Christ Jesus, a forgiven sinner, a renewed child of God. Live in love, joy, peace, gentleness, patience, self-control, all the fruit of the Spirit. And those of you who are called to prepare your hearts for the Lord's Supper, hear the word of God. In baptism, you were also raised with him. Whether you're 18 or 80, your baptismal promises still apply. A worthy partaker is one who is living the new Christian life. The worthy partaker is one who loves the Lord, whose life is a sacrifice of praise to God day by day. Dear friends, use this preparatory week as a time of spiritual renewal. Remember, you are raised with Christ, alive in the Savior. Rejoice then, rejoice to walk in the way of Christian discipleship. And all this comes by faith. God's wondrous work, the covenant of grace, signed and sealed to us in baptism, it demands a response. And as we live out our lives day by day here below, we do respond to that covenant, and we respond in many ways. Sadly, there is the way of the covenant breaker, the one who lacks concern, who mocks God, despises Christ's church, lives as he pleases, and so displeases God. The Bible recalls the sad examples of plenty of covenant breakers: Ishmael, Esau, Absalom, Judas Iscariot, Demas. There are so many ways to break the covenant, but it all boils down to unbelief and disobedience. And then, praise God, there is the way of the covenant keeper. The way of true joy and peace. And there is one way to be a covenant keeper, and that is the way of faith. As our text says, through faith in the working of God. The way of faith is the way to live. To live up to our baptismal promises. To live as a child of God. To come as a worthy partaker of the Lord's Supper, to live each day for Christ our King. We need true faith. That belief, that trust, not in ourselves, not in others around us, not in our feelings or vain human thoughts, but faith in the work of God. Faith in what Jesus Christ has done for us. We must live by this faith. And only the wonderful gift of faith will strengthen us to put to death that old self of sin. Only faith will give us the joy and the spiritual pleasure of living a new life in Christ. People of God, once again, this Sunday morning, we have heard vows spoken in this church. We have heard the beautiful, familiar promises of baptism. God is at work. His blessings are here, ready for our use. His covenant is established with us and our children to all generations. Now, what is your response? Is your heart Is your life showing that you are a covenant keeper? I pray so. The blessings of God, the assurance of election and salvation, faith that overcomes the world, the joy of living a life of service, all the blessings of God's covenant of grace, including the privilege of full communion with the people of God, these are for covenant keepers. In Psalm 103, verses 17 and 18, we read these words: "The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant." By faith, let us keep the covenant. Let us be buried with Christ and raised with him, that we and our children may be blessed, and that next Sunday we may come as worthy partakers of the Lord's Supper. Amen. Join with me in prayer. Father in heaven, we confess that in ourselves, by our own human strength, we are so weak. We could never keep covenant with you. We pray that you will send the Holy Spirit into our hearts, into our midst as a congregation, so that by his power we may be buried with Christ in baptism and raised with him in newness of life through the precious gift of faith. Through Christ our Lord, we ask this. Amen.